Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Casino tax revenues would finance the public purchase of Nationwide Arena under a proposed deal announced yesterday. Franklin County and Columbus would pledge up to a third of the tax revenue they collect from the Hollywood Casino on the west side through 2039 to finance the $42.5 million purchase of the arena from Nationwide Realty Investors and pay to operate it. Joining us to talk about the deal and the backstory is a little bit of a cast of thousands, but everybody's important. A panel of reporters. Doug Caruso is the Metro Desk reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Welcome back to the show, Doug.
Thanks, Ann.
Also, Steph Grieger is a reporter for the other paper. Steph, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Ann.
And also should be mentioned that Steph is starting a new job with Nationwide next Tuesday. But you'll continue to cover the Blue Jackets.
I will continue to cover the Blue Jackets. That's correct.
And report WOSU's Mandy Trimble. She's been covering the story for WOSU News. Welcome to the show, Mandy.
Good morning, Ann.
And by phone, Mike Arace, Columbus Dispatch sports reporter. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ann.
Well, of course, you know, you listeners, you know what I want to know. Do you support it or not? And tell us why. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or you can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. You can tweet at Ann Fisher WOSU, and you can also tweet Steph, I think.
Yeah. What is it? I'm online here. I got my phone. I'm ready for tweets.
So what's your Twitter address?
Is Gregor23.
Gregor23.
That's it.
So whatever floats your boat, you can do it. 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call. So I've got a message here from Facebook, and this is a guy that posted on Facebook earlier today when I posted the question and had people vote. He said, no one listened when the people voted for no new taxes to build an arena, and finally the big hitters step in with financial support. Yes, it's the rolling domino theory. Once you start something, you have to find a way to keep it going. Was I originally for the idea? No. Has it proven to be beneficial for Columbus? Yes. But now you have many businesses whose continued success hinges on whether the funding stays and keeps the Columbus Blue Jackets in town. At this point, I'd rather see them get the bailout than fail. Doug Caruso, is that sort of why you think whoever might vote for this in the county and the city level might not survive politically?
That they might survive politically?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're making this out to be an economic development issue. They're talking about thousands of jobs. They're talking about millions of dollars in revenues from the arena district. They talk about the fact that it was parking lots and a abandoned prison before that whole district blossomed over there. And yesterday they were very much trying to play up those aspects of it, that it's going to save jobs. I mean, their nightmare scenario is the Blue Jackets pull out, the arena sits empty most of the time, the district starts to dry up, the employers who like to have their businesses in a vibrant area start pulling out, the restaurants close, and you start losing all of that economic activity.
You know, Mike Arace, I know you've been looking at that urban renewal kind of a thing. Is it that simple? If something like the Blue Jackets took off, would it have that impact? Has it had that impact in other cities?
Well, not even so much as if they take off, but they need an anchor tenant there because the district, in my view, is obviously important to a vital downtown area. And in the bigger picture, we're gonna argue over taxes or who's paying for this or whether we want to. I sort of look at it differently, and that fact that was a incredibly it was a decaying area prior to the arena district being built is part of it. But the other part is looking ahead, and most urban planners agree that populations are going to be more concentrated in cities, which means that companies located in whatever city are going to have to compete to draw younger workers into younger cities. It's this notion of human capital. And the more vibrant downtown areas are, the more human capital can be attracted, the healthier companies in those cities are, and the more tax revenue is raised. So when I look at it from a financial standpoint, I look at it like that. And I think it's a pretty good investment, in my opinion. And if you don't want to pay for it, don't go to the casino.
Mandy Trimble, can you just give us a rundown of what the deal involves?
Absolutely. Well, The working group suggests that the Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority buy the arena for $43 million, 42.543. And they would, in turn, be the owners of the arena. Over the next 26 years, give or take a couple of years, they would pay down that loan with casino tax dollars. And the city and the county each put in 25% of their tax revenue that they receive from the casino. Each year, it would increase by 1%. I think reaching a cap of about 33%. All total, that's about $8 million a year that they would be paying toward the down payment or the paying down the loan.
But the loan, what I didn't get, is Nationwide loaning them the money?
Yes, Nationwide is loaning them the money. Now, there are different entities, I think, within Nationwide, and I never really got a grasp on if it was Nationwide Realty or another Nationwide Investors or which entity of that, but Nationwide is loaning them the money. They're also getting $10 million from the state, kind of like as startup money. So all in all, they're borrowing $53 million for this purchase and project. So I lost my train of thought, Ann. I'm sorry.
Well, I think you covered it, but Doug Russo, you want to add to that?
Yeah. The amount of money coming in, you talked about $8 million a year. That would clearly pay off a $42.5 million loan pretty fast. The other issue here is that they're going to pay to operate it out of that money.
Right.
It's a significant – it's actually – they're going to pay more at least in early years. And I'm not sure if it would change over time. But in the first year or so, I think it's something like $5 million of that money is going to operate the arena. And only about $2.5 million or so, give or take, is going to pay off the loan. So the loan is actually the smaller part of what gets paid out of that casino money.
And I think there was a question yesterday, is they're making projections on a casino that hasn't been built yet. And they're standing by these projections and saying that it's going to draw in the money that they expect. But
if it draws in half the money, will they still be able to fulfill their obligation in this case?
They noted yesterday that they would. And they said multiple times that they would be able to meet those obligations.
Yeah, there's also a clause in there where Nationwide has agreed to take their payback as the money comes in. So right. If the money comes in faster, it gets paid off faster. If the money comes in slower, they slow down the loan. There's no penalty. They just go ahead and extend it. I mean, which is, I guess we'd all like to have that from our bank. But
right.
Well, a lot of businesses would just like to have a bank loaning them anything right now. So there was another comment on Facebook, Steph Grieger, that I thought was pithy. The point,
we like pithy.
The pithy point made was, the only part I find interesting is that the same guys who tried to run the casino out of town are now banking on its success.
What do you make of that? That is the irony in all.
It is the irony.
They're banking on it. Literally.
That actually is the headline of our story today in the other paper is, the irony of that. When the constitutional amendment was first written, obviously the casino was going to be in the arena district. And then, of course, we saw the arena get pushed out of the arena district. And now that money that's going to come from the casino is, in fact, going to be what saves the arena district. So it is, and that's not lost on a lot of people.
Maybe explains, although we'll never be able to prove it, the attempts to keep it in the West Side and keep the funding stream headed in Columbus's
that's
direction.
That's right. That certainly does explain a lot of why there was a lot of back and forth about the importance of annexing them into the city and making sure that we got that tax flow money. And this certainly alludes to that and sort of supports that notion that that's why it was so important to get them annexed in is they were going to obviously be part of this deal in the future.
The deal, Mandy, it's estimated to cut the team's arena lease expenses, the arena lease expenses, LEASE, by $9.5 million a year. What do they mean by lease expenses? Is it just rent?
Basically rent. Right now, the team says they're losing about $12 million a year because of their lease agreement with Nationwide. And that's kind of been at the heart of their financial difficulties. Under this new agreement, they would be rent-free and hopefully give them, as the folks on this committee say, a more financial solvency, if you will. So, I mean, they do have expenses. I'd have to pull out what exactly they pay.
You might, what, you like guys utilities, might remember that kind
utilities
of thing?
And
keeping so, that ice cold and that kind of thing.
Well, the important thing too is, I mean, I think it's important to note that the Columbus Blue Jackets, they didn't really have the best lease deal. I mean, a lot of other teams have a lot better deals. They didn't have naming rights, and they weren't getting money for naming rights. So the Blue Jackets were in a bad lease deal. So this alleviates them a lot. They're going to get money from Nationwide, $28.5 million,
right,
I think, in naming rights. I mean, those are all important steps that are going to alleviate a lot of financial burden for the Blue Jackets. So that's sort of an important note.
Mike?
I think it's important to go back to the beginning and remember how the team ran into this problem.
Yeah.
There was a great push on to get a major league franchise in town. You can argue about whether that's smart or not, but what the city fathers and mothers, if you will, foresaw was they had this growing city in an area of the country where every other city was shrinking, and they thought that given the expansion and the way the population was not only growing but changing, that being a big college town alone wouldn't be preferable to adding a major league team and appealing to a greater swath of the population, if you will.
You mean they're not all Buckeyes out there?
No, well, you know, it happens. There's hundreds of thousands of transplants.
I can't hear you, Mike. I can't.
you'll have that. Anyway, they thought it was very important. They had to make a last stab to get an NHL expansion franchise. The last one awarded, as a matter of fact, with not another one in sight, in the near or even distant future. So the arena deals got shot down by the public. The tax issues to finance an arena. Nationwide stepped in to save the expansion bid, more or less, by saying, we'll build it with private funds. At that point, one of the original leaders of the group trying to get the team in town, Lamar Hunt, looked at the lease and said, you know, we can't do this. And John H. McConnell subsequently said that at that point, Hunt was ready to take the expansion bid elsewhere. So the people in the city here still thought this bid was important. They didn't want to see it move. They wanted to try to get a team here. They didn't want Hunt taking it out of town, supposedly to Northern Kentucky. So Mr. Mack, John H. McConnell, was asked to step in and save the bid, which he did. So Lamar Hunt was pushed out. John H. McConnell stepped in and said, yes, I'll own the team. I'll accept this lease. Up goes the arena district. The problem was, one of the problems was, Lamar Hunt was right. It was a bad lease in many ways, as was just described. There were revenue streams that Nationwide assumed to service their own debt and finance this gigantic building project. You know, another of the problems was, and this is sometimes forgotten, that Ohio State entered into an arena building race with the city. And among other things, aside from being poor planning, one of the things that resulted in that was at a time when arena rock shows were big revenue and quite ubiquitous, it created competition here. Pete Townsend, as a matter of fact, once said that it was one of his favorite places to play because, you know, the Shot and Nationwide Arena bid against one another and drove up his ticket price. So you have all that happening.
Well, it's nice to know Pete Townsend will eat next week and is surviving this this problem. We're talking about, of course, Nationwide Arena, the Columbus Blue Jackets. So we want to hear from you. We'll get to the calls that are waiting. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're going to say goodbye to Mandy Trimble, WSU News reporter. Mandy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Still with us, Michael Arace. He's a sports reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Doug Caruso, Metro Desk reporter for the Dispatch. And also Steph Grieger. She's a reporter for the other paper. She covers the Blue Jackets. She'll be joining Nationwide coming next week, but will continue to cover the Blue Jackets. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Stay caught up with local and national news every Friday night on WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record for local news at 8:30. Continuing at 9 with the McLaughlin Group and at 9:30, Watch Need to Know. Spend your Friday night with WOSU-TV tomorrow beginning at 8.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Metropolitan Club presenting their weekly forum. Wednesday at noon, it's a conversation with John Bickley as he retires as president and CEO of the YMCA of Central Ohio. Tickets at columbusmetroclub.org.
54 degrees and cloudy skies, gradually becoming a little sunny today and a high of 60 degrees. Partly cloudy for tonight and a low of 45. Mostly sunny for Friday, a high of 65 degrees. Clouds Friday night, a low of 47. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about that proposal to save the Columbus Blue Jackets, at least save them for Columbus. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Let's listen to an interview with Columbus City Auditor Hugh Dorian. He says losing the Blue Jackets would be a big hit to the local economy.
We're not talking about a few jobs. We're talking about thousands of jobs. We're not talking about a few million dollars of tax revenues, which obviously I'm very biased in favor of, and we're not talking about a few million dollars of economic activity on the private side. We're talking about multi-millions.
Dick in Westerville, you're against the public support for the arena and for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Hugh Dorian doesn't convince you, huh?
Well, can you hear me?
Yep.
Thank you for taking the call.
You're welcome.
My memory is too good, and I just got bolstered by reading today's Columbus Dispatch. One, two, three, four. Many times, Franklin County voters said no to tax, to sales tax increases for building arenas. That comes out to four or five arenas that didn't get built on taxpayer money. I thought somebody might have got the message. I was listening early to the rest of the program earlier, and Lamar Hunt said that this lease deal that the Columbus Blue Jackets signed was a loser, and he wanted out, and we got a local volunteer to come in with some good-sized seed money, and so Mr. McConnell is a major holder. It seems to me that I understand and I support the idea that we need to keep something alive there. It seems to me that Nationwide projection of the all these wonderful events that were going to take place in the nation, I ran and read it, was a wonderful idea, but it never panned out. The is what we seem to be doing is funding 9-point-something million, or maybe $10 million, or maybe more, for to save the owners of the Blue Jackets rent money. Maybe Mr. McConnell made a bad deal. Maybe Nationwide made a bad deal. But coming to the taxpayers to bail them out seems to me to be a very bad idea. And it isn't as if the taxpayers hadn't spoken before. And I'll listen to the rest, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Dick. So is the bailout the same as what people were voting on before, or is it different? Doug Caruso?
It's different. And Hugh Dorian said that yesterday. His point about that was that those were tax increases. You were voting to increase your taxes to pay for an arena. In this case, this will take revenue, a revenue stream from the casino, which it will be paid for by people gambling at the casino, which will then be used to pay for the arena. Nobody's taxes go up unless, you know, for some reason, the government in the future needed that tax money for other things and had to raise your taxes because that money was committed elsewhere, and I suppose those kind of things could always happen. But at this point, that money, when it comes in, won't be a tax increase on anybody in this region.
Michael Ares, do you ever foresee a time in the future when this whole operation down there at the Arena District could make some money for somebody?
Yeah, it might. It has
besides the restaurants and bars.
Well, it does that, and you know what? That's not to be sniffed at. If you consider, in a roundabout way, if you consider what the economic impact has been in that area, and how it's sort of rippled out and impacted Short North, Victorian Village, et cetera, and it's starting to reach back the other way toward downtown. Just from a tax point of view, it's a significant impact. I've heard estimates where there's about that the arena generates some $90 million in economic activity in that area of the city. So, again, the bar owners and everything else, not to mention the property owners whose values are going up and they're paying higher taxes, that is, I think that's part and parcel of this whole argument here, whether it's worth it.
Okay, so back to the agreement. The Blue Jackets would agree to remain in Columbus through at least 2039. What if they change their mind? Can they change their mind? And is there a penalty associated with that, Doug Caruso?
Actually, I'm going to ask Mike about that because I'm not positive what the penalty clauses are at this point.
There is a penalty if they go. they will have to pay damages. The Columbus Blue Jackets, if they break that any time before that contract is up, they would have to pay. And I think the damages start at least $36 million, and then they taper off as the years go on. So there is a penalty for the Blue Jackets if they were to try and leave town. But I think that Gary Bettman, who is the commissioner of the NHL, has made it very clear that he is committed and the league is committed to keeping the Blue Jackets in Columbus. He was here earlier this summer. He also wrote a letter to all of the city officials saying that the league supports them. And on top of it, for the Blue Jackets to leave, there's a whole NHL bylaw that's got like 24 points that they would have to prove and show, the ownership would, that this is it's a better idea for them to leave than it is for them to stay. So it would be very difficult for the Blue Jackets to go.
I would only add that that wrinkle where Nationwide buys a significant percentage of the team, 30%, is to me an indicator of a stronger public-private relationship with the team, a stronger local investment in the team, and certainly a hedge against the team moving at any point, I think, under the terms of this agreement.
If you have a question or comment for us, of course, we're talking about the proposed bailout for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. We have people waiting, and we're going to get to those calls, but they're all against it. Are you for it? Is anybody out there for the bailout? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Mike, to your point, what's the difference between owning the arena and owning 30% of an organization that, according to the Blue Jackets president in 2009, when he talked about it in 2009, had already lost $80 million in the first 8 years. Where's the benefit to Nationwide to owning a chunk of the team versus the arena?
That's a good question. I don't know if I could give you a full answer. But when I read that part of it, I took note very quickly because that to me, in a team that said, you know, if we don't fix our lease, we have to move. If we don't have a lease that's on par with other teams in the league, and you know, there's 29 other teams that have had better leases. That's all of them. Investing in the team, the more localized ownership in any team, the better. The more stable the team is. These people don't want to see it leave. They see it as important to their future. As companies operating in Columbus, the image of the city, all these sorts of things that are needed going forward to compete as a city.
John McConnell still has the majority ownership, though. So, Steph Grieger, what if the team is sold? Nationwide only owns 30%.
Highly unlikely that the team's going to be sold. And I mean, in fact, they had people trying to court the Blue Jackets in the last year when the financial situation was obviously bad. There were definitely cities contacting Dr. Stephen Buser, who did the report, and asking him. Columbus is actually a model for other cities. Edmonton, Edmonton Oilers, they're actually trying to model their new project.
Like an arena district
scenario. An arena district scenario.
Yeah, Pittsburgh was in here looking at the arena district as well. Any team considering a new building or any city looking at investing in infrastructure or whatever for a sports team, they all come to Columbus, which is seen as a great success in public-private operation.
Well, there's a concert venue down there now. There's, of course, you know, Huntington Field, where the Clippers play. That's made a big impact. Couldn't it survive without the arena ultimately?
Not the key is the anchor tenant, that being the Blue Jackets. Without an anchor tenant filling, you know, 41 to 50 dates a year, regular season and an exhibition game, somewhat under 50, the arena doesn't become a viable business.
David in German Village, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You oppose the proposal to bail out the Blue Jackets.
Hello.
Hi, David.
How are you? Thank you for taking the call.
Oh, thank you for calling.
Okay. I'm sort of with the majority. Hockey is not a real popular sport. We have maybe 15,000 fans in Columbus that like it. The arena has chosen to get rid of the casino because it would be not a good family venue. Now they want the casino to pay for the arena district. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't make sense that when you put a bad product on the ice, charge $128 or so for a ticket, charge an astronomical money for a PSL, and they say the team will stay till 2039, they could go bankrupt in 2 years. No agreement would hold water under those circumstances. There are a certain amount of people, I think, that make a lot of money because of that building. Now they want the public to pay for it through a venue that they asked to leave their neighborhood. So, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. That casino is going to make a lot of money. That money is supposed to go to fix up our city. We have a city that needs so much work, an east side that really needs to be revitalized, a west side that the casino will revitalize to a certain extent, not as much as it should.
Okay.
So thinking about it and thinking about it intelligently, Nationwide has more money than God. Let them pay for it, and then that's it. Let them name it anything they want to keep it.
Well, you know, thank you, David, very much for your call, and you do bring up an interesting issue. The Nationwide said, according to the Dispatch, that they're not doing this to, you know, make a bunch of money. They're doing it because of their investment in the community and the social blah, blah. You know, the whatever.
That's what they said.
Yeah, it's a social good. It's for the social good.
Social, yeah.
They didn't say the blah, blah. I did. but what about that? I mean, is that possible that they're just doing this to be nice to the people like
you
Ben?
You know, as mawkish as it sounds, I think there's a real kernel of truth in all that. Not only because, and leave aside what they've invested there, but what the team and entertainment districts, you know, even like bike trails and city parks, museums, all of these things are important to companies that work here and need to attract workers. And they're going to be even more important going forward as the trend is for re-urbanization.
Well, I want to add in there, too, what that caller was saying. One of my good friends, Tanya, she works at the Times Recorder in Zanesville, she tweeted at me and she said if they were bringing home the Stanley Cup, this would be a non-issue. So I think the caller had an excellent point there. I think a lot of the argument that you hear from people, too, is that the on-ice product has not been great. We've only made the playoffs once. And so a lot of people are like, why are we, you know, keeping a crappy hockey team around? That's a lot of what you're hearing. And I think that you know, we did make the playoffs. We had a great year that year, and now obviously Scott Howson has made some serious offseason moves, and they're anticipating a much better hockey team this season. But I think their point's valid. But I mean, I think if we were winning, I don't know, Michael, what do you think? Because you're in this world too. I think if we were winning, this would be less of an issue, at least on that front.
Well, to argue that revitalization with the casino on the west side is a good thing, but we should get rid of the hockey team, which has played a part in revitalizing a big swath of downtown that was crumbling not 20 years ago. I find that an interesting argument to make. But yes, you're right. I think their sellout streak, they've sold that building out
a lot
before. Yeah, I mean, I think their sellout streak in the early aughts was was something like 132 straight games, or something in that neighborhood. I think that Columbus has demonstrated that it can be a really good hockey town. I think fans have been driven out of the building by a poor product. I think they're laying in the weeds waiting for another spark of hope, and I think they'll be back in force if the team's any good at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Ben in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You support the proposal.
Yeah, I'm actually a former Columbus resident who's in town visiting for the day, and a day one Blue Jacket season ticket holder and longtime fan. And I find it asinine that anybody's even arguing this. When you look at, I worked at Nationwide Plaza One when that building was being built. There was nothing there. That whole area has been drastically revitalized. And the last caller who mentioned the idea of, well, the casino's going to revitalize the west side, but we don't care if the team's here or not. Well, 15,000 people are who show up at the game every night, but that's not necessarily the number of fans in town. I mean, are there more Buckeye fans than fill the horseshoe every game? Yes. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. When you look at what this does to the town, what it does on not just in terms of income and revenue and potential revenue with future All-Star games and drafts and playoff games. I think Steph's point was a very salient one, that winning would obviously temper a lot of this anger. There's a lot of people right now who, anybody who's not getting money as part of all these bailouts, probably has a little bit of an axe to grind. But in my opinion, what it does for this town is beyond easily beyond what the amount of revenue that this casino will provide for this in the short term.
Are you happy, Ben, with the way the team's been managed, with the way the facility's been managed? Do you think they could do a better job? Obviously, everyone thinks they could do a better job with the team.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. But what about everything else?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always things that could be better. Things have drastically gotten better in terms of operation and just honesty from when Doug McClain was let go. But then since that point, you look at what Scott Housen's done, you look at what ownership's done, John McConnell's son has not been given the credit that he is for the passion and the money he's been willing to put into this product just because he's not as outspoken as his father was. And when you look at the way things are run now, sure, there are probably some ticket prices that could have been made a little more realistic for what the market is right now. But at the same time, they've done a lot of things for people who are not season ticket holders. They won't know that the Blue Jackets did a tremendous push to get their season ticket numbers up this year and really get, butts in the seats in order to pay for a lot of the operations. And another thing that most fans won't know is that, there isn't a giant TV contract that pays for all of this. It's not like the NFL where, they get $10 billion a year or whatever it is, $50 billion a year from NBC. Most of their revenue still comes from people going to games, spending their money on their tickets, spending their money on food and buying souvenirs. And with a product that's going to be put on the ice this year, I think we have a real chance to be an incredibly successful franchise this year. And I think if we presented this opportunity last year, it would have been laughed out loud. But with the commitment that the ownership has made to building this team up this year, I think that this is the perfect time to do this.
Okay, Ben in Worthington, thank you very much for your call.
I would like to add to his a little bit too, just real quickly here, is that the Blue Jackets, aside from what they bring to the Arena District, which being the anchor down there, being vital to economic development, a lot of point that's missed is that the Blue Jackets also do a significant amount of work in the community through their community foundation. They've donated a lot of money. Their players spend a lot of time in the community. You've seen a lot of increase in youth hockey as well, too. So there are a lot of added community benefits that a lot of people don't see or don't talk about, and which is also vital to having the Blue Jackets in town, aside from the economic growth.
We're on that note, I'll mention another Facebook comment, and then we'll have to take a quick break. This is from a Facebook fan. He said he is thankful for the Columbus Blue Jackets, for one, because of my son. He loves hockey and would prefer to do that year-round than anything. It is great for his health, mentally and physically. Now I know it isn't the Columbus Blue Jackets' duty to be my son's role model, but it is a great that he has something to look forward to and works towards, and it has really boosted his grades. And I can say it for a lot of other kids that I have seen over the last 3 years. I think it would be bad for Columbus if the Jackets leave. Have a great day. We're talking about the Columbus Blue Jackets and the proposed bailout of the Blue Jackets. We're going to get to the politics of that when we return with Doug Caruso, Metro Desk reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, also with us. Steph Grieger, reporter for The Other Paper, and Michael Arace, sports reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, and you. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
But nobody told my feet they're walking on air, 'cause somebody cares for me.
On the next Fresh Air, Nick Lowe joins us in the studio to perform songs from his new album, The Old Magic. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Be sure to watch Columbus on the Record Friday nights at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson and a panel of news reporters and political analysts talk about the top local stories of the week. Tune in for Columbus on the Record every Friday night at 8:30. And watch full episodes of the show online anytime at WOSU.org/COTR.
Support for 89.7 comes from Columbus College of Art and Design, offering continuing education courses to update your creative career skills. Information and online registration are available now at www.ccad.edu.
Cloudy skies today, gradually becoming a little more sunny and a high of 60 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 45. Mostly sunny for Friday, a high of 65 degrees, and looking ahead for the weekend, mostly sunny on Saturday, a high of 70. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about the proposed bailout for the Columbus Blue Jackets. If you have a question or comment, well, you can just tell us if you're for or against it, and we'll take your call. 614-292-8513. I know we already have calls out there. We're going to try to get to everybody. We also have some emails. But before we move on, we're still talking about David's call from German Village. And I thought when David said, wow, and those astronomical, and then he went on to talk about, I think, ticket prices or something. But I was thinking beer.
We thought about beer.
Who gets the beer money in the concession province? And what about renting out, well, that's kind of, you know, booking the arena for other types of, you know, musical performances and all that kind of stuff and all the Sesame Seat stuff? Who gets all that?
It's operating expenses is my understanding. It goes back to the arena. It goes back to
the city then.
To
the CFA.
To the CFA, yeah.
Okay.
That's the Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority. They own the ballpark. They own the convention center, and soon we'll probably own the arena.
Well, and it's important to note, too, that under this new deal that they're proposing, they're going to form a separate nonprofit entity called CAM. And under CAM, they're going to manage both the SHOT and Nationwide. So that was a little note.
What does CAM stand for?
We looked for it in the proposal, and we couldn't find it. It didn't say.
It's very similar to the OSU.
What they're doing now.
Nationwide access that's going on right now to operate both of those arenas together, or to book them together.
So that they're not booking against each other. They're booking with each other. An email from Dave. He says he's for the deal. I, for one, couldn't be happier about the new tax agreement. There are a lot of us out here who understand the economic impact of not doing this. It is obvious and it makes logical sense. And by the way, the team should be much improved this year. The future looks bright. You disagree, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I do disagree on a couple of fronts. To me, they sound like an addicted gambler who just keeps saying, oh, just give me one more dollar and I'll turn things around, you know? When I voted for the casinos, because I did, I voted in favor of them, that money was supposed to go to revitalize depressed areas, rebuild roads, schools, what have you. It was not supposed to go to some Blue Jackets arena. And it's just like when Mayor Coleman said we need to raise sales tax or income tax to pay for police and fire, and then he siphons it off to art programs and other stuff that was not a part of the proposal. It's the old bait and switch. If they've got money to buy an arena, then they've got money to pay for to tear down blighted areas of town, condemned buildings, these foreclosed on homes. So that's kind of my take on it. Nobody bailed out my customers when they were losing their homes. And if the Blue Jackets are such a solid investment, why hasn't another private investor come in and taken up where Nationwide and the Arena has failed? And I'll take my comments off the air.
Okay, Brian. Anyone?
Well, it's a fair Michael? Point to bait and switch. I keep coming back to whether you believe that the team in the district is a vital asset for the city. He can argue no, I guess. He didn't have the opportunity. I would argue yes, and that it's worth the investment. In 1999, a book came out called Major League Losers, The Real Cost of Professional Sports and Who's Paying for It. And the same guy wrote another book, Rosentrop. He used to be at Cleveland State for a long time, and now he's at the University of Michigan. But he is one of the authorities on how sports teams in cities interact and what they mean financially and otherwise and how they can work together. He came back 10 years later with another book, Major League Winners, and it has to do with public-private partnerships and using teams as an economic engine, among other things, and injecting vibrancy into a city and how that's going to be important going forward. That's the way I look at this, more so than anything, in a bigger picture than, say, the previous caller.
Can I add something real quick there? Is that just to address that caller's point, just so he understands too, and we just talked about this, not to defend the proposal, but just to simply put the facts out there, is that 25% of those casino revenues is going to be funneled towards the Blue Jackets. The other 75% is going to be funneled towards the things that he was speaking about, revitalization, roads, things like that. So not all of the casino revenue is going to be funneled towards this deal. Only 25% of it is. And then in addition to that, in the legislation, when they rewrote the Constitution to move the casino, there was no clause written in there that said that these monies could not be used for this type of venture. So it sort of left it up to the city and county what to do with that money. Just an added
point. Yeah. Once again, if the voters aren't looking at the fine print, too bad.
But there is no fine print. I mean, there nobody ever said how this money had to be
spent. Or the
spent.
Lack thereof,
and,
yeah.
And the city, I mean, from covering the city side, the city never said how they were going to spend that money. I've asked them many times, how do you plan to spend that money? And up until now, it's especially with if you talk to Auditor Dorian about it, if you talk to Mayor Coleman about it, talk to the council members about it, they would say, we don't have that money yet, so we don't know how we're going to spend it.
Except now they do know how they're going to spend a third of it, at least.
They're saying this is the first time they've actually said, they're not saying, they haven't approved it yet.
Well, and I wanted to talk about that.
Right.
Tell us, what's the timeline now? What's next, Doug Caruso?
My understanding is I talked to there was actually kind of a disconcerting silence from the mayor and the city council yesterday. They would not talk.
Nationwide as well. Nationwide was conspicuously quiet.
And I think my impression is what they were doing was they were trying to let the panel get things out there without kind of talking over each other.
Yeah,
and they'll end up talking a lot today.
Yeah, I heard the same thing that over the next few days that people like Mike Priest who had a funeral to go to. He's the president of the Blue Jackets, and John P. McConnell, as well as like Brian Ellis from Nationwide, the chief of their real estate arm, that they were stepping back. My understanding is the same thing, and that they will step forward in the coming days, fill in some of the gray areas, and be there to be reckoned with.
We've got a message from Paul on Facebook. He says, for years they, whomever is currently in charge in the Dispatch and et cetera, have offered up argument after argument as to why the city will collapse if we don't subsidize a largely unwanted hockey team. Finally, we rejected it enough that the city fathers have just decided to buy it with our money. This whole, the casino can't be downtown, city center must be destroyed, this ridiculous downtown park nobody wants, let's have a public-private partnership, it all reeks of corruption. Whether you agree with it or not, how are those kind of arguments going to play? City council races, the mayoral race, that kind of thing coming up.
Somebody's going to probably try to make I haven't polled everybody in the race at this point. You have four city council seats up for election this November. The mayor's up for election this November. Those have been fairly quiet races. I could foresee somebody trying to make the argument that, look, you don't get a vote on this deal, but you do have a vote on the people who approve it or don't approve it.
We just learned that the mayor and the council president support the recommendations to protect the arena district jobs. Mayor Michael B. Coleman and City Council President Andrew Ginther today declared their support for recommendations announced yesterday by Attorney John C. Rosenberger, City Auditor Hugh Dorian, and Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority Executive Director William Jennison, that will protect and create thousands of jobs. And then it goes on and on. So they've got the mayor and the City Council President. How much does that matter, Doug?
Well, it's not surprising. I don't think this deal would have gone out there if they already weren't. Weren't certain that they were going to get that support. That you wouldn't have seen an announcement yesterday if the mayor and the city council and the county commissioners were not on board for this.
So you think they're all on board, or do you think there's going to be any opposition?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine there's going to be at this point.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, some of the challengers in these races, I think might try to make some political. They might make some political points out of this.
And
less. If you don't like you don't like this deal, you're not getting a vote on this deal. You could vote, you can vote against these people. I imagine that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. They're going to encourage people to vote against this with their votes in terms of electing the officials that are in office.
Tom, in Circleville, you're on the air. You support the proposal to bail out the Blue Jackets and have the government buy the arena. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I do support it. I think it's a very important thing to the city. Columbus is the only major city until the Blue Jackets came that does not have a major league. I love hockey. I also love football and I love baseball. These people, I believe the mayor also is trying to pull Columbus out of the cowtown syndrome that it's been in for so many years. You know, I know we have the Clippers, but Chillicothe has the Paints. You know, I believe we need to break the hold that the Ohio State University has over the city sports-wise. And I do believe the Columbus Blue Jackets is the right direction to go. Nothing against the Ohio State University. They have a great thing going for the city of Columbus. But there have been many teams that have tried to make it in this town and have failed. Now, the Blue Jackets are a good team, and they're going to be a great team. And it takes a while for a team to turn around.
Okay. Mike Arace?
Well, I would just add to that by saying that the Blue Jackets' previous business model wasn't going to work here or anywhere, and that if they did move, it would be because some city was promising them a free arena with all the revenue streams, which, by the way, is not a good model either. But you could foresee that there might be enough demand where they could get that kind of deal and get a large return on their investment, even by selling the team. There are people willing to throw on a lot of money to relocate a team. John P. McConnell could wash his hands of it and sell, or could have. This present agreement gives them a business model to say, all right, this is a fighting chance now. If either we stand on our own merits because we have a business model that's like our brethren in the league, or we don't.
We have an email from Bill. He supports the Blue Jackets bailout, I imagine. In response to previous callers stating the majority of people are against bailing out the team, I ask all to consider the forum we are on. This is not exactly sports talk radio.
Hey, now. Come on. We are sports people here.
I am not a huge fan, but think the team has given an obvious lift to the area, whether it be the new ballpark, the LC, the lifestyle communities, the fine eateries and drinkeries, that's a new one, for downtown to be vibrant and viable. It needs to be a destination. Supporting the team is a no-brainer. And Earl, you disagree. Welcome to the show. Hi, Earl.
Oh,
Earl hung up.
Sorry,
Earl. Let's see. Well, so is Steve. Steve, you're against it. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hi. Yeah, I think that they should be some investigation a little bit about the whole realm of the things that Nationwide subsidizes, like the Nationwide Golf, the minor league golf tour, the hospital, all the things that it chooses to to support, and now all of a sudden it's backing away from its own hockey team.
Well, it's buying 30% of the team, though.
Yeah, but how are they not able to pay the rent? I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, that's what I wondered earlier.
It's just an important distinction to make. It's the Blue Jackets that had to pay rent to Nationwide.
That's right.
But the Nationwide is going to own 30% of the team.
Yes, that changes now. Nationwide won't have.
That sound sort of fishy? And plus, the Dispatch printing company owns part of the team.
They do. They own 10%.
Full disclosure.
Yep. Sorry, I forgot to bring that up.
The Dispatch has slowly been trying to cozy us up to this idea for a year now.
I think they've been doing it for about 10 years.
It seems way too much pressure on on the city leaders for this to go on like this.
Okay.
And also, why can't the city, the businesses that in the area, and other people, buy part of the team? Well,
did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steve.
He brings up a really, really, really valid point. I think that's a lot of people have talked about that, and I think it's absolutely something that people want to talk about. And that is, you know, the Dispatch company is a minority owner, and we've certainly written a lot on their role in this. But I think you'll find pretty fair coverage from over at the Dispatch. You know those guys pretty well. But I mean, and also Nationwide, it's obviously a pretty large investor in that. So I think his critiques are definitely called for. In this case, I mean, what you're seeing is Nationwide built the arena along with the Dispatch, and the Blue Jackets are paying rent to them. And what you'll see in the new deal is that then they turn around and they loan the money to the convention authority to then purchase it, who will then be the owner. But then we're also then paying back Nationwide for the deal. And then, again, now they're going to also invest to own in the team. So
some people say, can you spell shell game?
Yeah, exactly.
Steph Grieger, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Mike Arias, any final thoughts?
Only that, you know, the whole, to me, I look at it pretty simply. Is it worth the investment of some casino money or not? And to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Michael Arias, sports reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And Doug Caruso, any final thoughts about the politics of this? And is this are the skids greased and it's a done deal and it's go away?
I don't think you would have seen it presented yesterday unless they were sure. I mean, you don't attack until you're sure of victory, right? I mean, you just it's like it wouldn't be out there if they weren't certain it was going to pass. It'll be interesting to see what the reaction is among the electorate in the upcoming election over it, whether that makes a dent in the popularity of any of the sitting council members or the mayor.
Well, Doug Caruso, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it. Thanks for everybody to popping over here on short notice. Doug Caruso is the Metro Desk reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, or a Metro Desk reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Steph Grieger is a reporter for the other paper, soon to be employed by Nationwide Insurance, but she still will be covering the Columbus Blue Jackets for the other paper. And also Michael Arias, sports reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Thanks to all of you out there for your calls and your emails and your Facebook comments and questions. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.